Pretty bad, Fred.
Stay where you're at.
He's even blushing. Call the Senate Resources Committee to order. It's 1:35, February 16th. Let the record show that Senator Soroff, Senator Duncan, Senator Sturgiolowski, Senator Jones, Chairman Senator Coghill are present. We will hear Senate Bill 71, which is the Management of Sand and Gravel Resources, and Senate Concurrent Resolution 6, a resolution asking the governor to designate the Santrana Mine as a historical site. And that'll be our new business, and then we'll go into the old business, which is two bills that we had held over, and that's a committee will bring back Senate Bill 11, the 5-acre home site, and Senate Bill 41, which is the cabin bill. Also, the committee staff has drafted a letter, and it's in your packet, to President Fakes on the Executive Order 64, and you should go over that so that we can do it. So, Senate Bill 71, what they did is that they've been sitting together, Senator Fisher is also, for the record here, they've been sitting together for the last couple of days, and somebody might think that they're something going on.
Don't
put me in between. 71 will be up first, so I won't put you in between. We will hear from the representatives of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee, and then from the Department of Natural Resources, and the staff person is Beth Gertula. Beth, come forward, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Beth Gertula, and I'm representing Senator Gertula. This bill was introduced by the Rules Committee at the request of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. Under statute, the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee has the power to make recommendations to the legislature concerning appropriations. Senator Gertula last year in the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee studied the problem with management of sand and gravel resources in the state and came up with this bill. Basically, Tom Maher's report, which I believe the committee has received, from Legislative Budget and Audit staff, points out the problem that we're dealing with in the state. In many areas of the state, lands have been classified, developed, or simply traded without adequate appraisal of the sand and gravel potential. This has cost the state quite a bit of money. There's a large revenue from sand and gravel resources in the state. For fiscal year 87 to date, it's over $4 million. In fact, it's almost $5 million of revenues generated. But a program has never been implemented for a long-term needs assessment. The Department of Natural Resources also points out that if we do start managing our sand and gravel land better, that will be one more step towards diversifying the Alaskan economy and a less future dependence on oil revenues. There is a fiscal note with the bill at this point of about $131,000. The sponsor believes that would be more than offset by the revenues that would be generated by better management of our resources. The Department of Natural Resources supports the bill with a slight modification, which the sponsor finds acceptable, and that would be on line 13 of the bill. At this point, the whole sentence reads, starting on line 12, we'd be dealing with the reserve of sand and gravel resources with particular emphasis on, and then after the word on, we'd be putting in meeting the, and then we'd be adding in current and future needs. The reason for adding those two words, meeting and current, is that the Department of Natural Resources was concerned that if we simply kept the bill to provide for the systematic identification inventory and reserve of sand and gravel, that possibly there could be a challenge saying that DNR could never do anything except reserve the sand and gravel land. That is, they could never sell it, never trade it, never do anything with it. The intent of the sponsor is that we get a long-term plan going with sand and gravel land and the resource be managed correctly, but not that it not ever be touched. So with the modification, I think that will clear it up, and DNR assures me that they can work with that. Tom Maher is here from Legislative Budget and Audit. He's the person most responsible for doing the background work on it, and he's here to answer questions. Carol Wilson from the Department of Natural Resources, and hopefully Randy Updike, who works pretty intimately with these kind of problems, is also here. So. I'm happy to try and answer questions or we can proceed.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Dirk Lewis.
Yes, could you again give us the change? That's all.
Yes, excuse me, Senator. It's on line 13. Right, it's right after the word on. It would be meeting the current.
Okay, fine,
thank you.
And take out future?
No, we're going to leave, I'm sorry, and. We've got to have an and in there, excuse me.
On meeting the current and the future.
That's right.
Okay. Is there any other questions of, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, then, the next one we'll have is Randy Updike. Is, I guess, that the way we're going to do this?
That would be fine.
Or Carol, or, I don't know whether there's a protocol here that I've be careful about.
Okay. Hello.
Would you state your name and position, and then give us what your thoughts are on the bill?
Okay. My name is Dr. Randall Updike with the State of Alaska Division of Mining and Geological Surveys. I'm Chief of the Engineering Geology Section. My involvement here has been over the past 5 years trying to get this project underway. We have a serious problem in the various projects that I've dealt with throughout the state, whether this is down in Bethel or in Ketchikan or Kodiak or Anchorage or Juneau. The serious problem is sand and gravel resources, the determination of the volumes that we have available, what is a fair market price, who owns it, how it should be transported, and how it should be fairly distributed. The current bill is a revised downward proposal from, I believe, 2 years ago when Senator Fisher and Senator Curtula first proposed this bill. So we are trying to keep it a little bit more limited in its scope, at least during the first year. The most important thing that I can say here about this particular bill is that in order to get it in operation, that is to utilize the fiscal note that is attached, we cannot do this at the sacrifice of some other project within the division. In other words, if we sacrifice, say, water resources to do sand and gravel, we're really not gaining much. We may be actually losing ground. So I would suggest that if it is in your wisdom to move ahead with the sand and gravel project, that it be considered that we need the funds to do it.
Then, Doctor, just at that point, for clarification, that the you indicated that there would be, or Beth had indicated that there would be a greater return because you'd have an established system.
Oh, absolutely.
So what is the bottom line? You know, you can spend $150,000 to make a million.
Well, we're talking more like a billion.
A billion. So, I mean, we're not in a position where it's costing this money. It's money that you put in the private sector you have to invest in before you return, get a return.
Absolutely.
And what you're saying is basically that this is an investment.
And it's a short-term investment. We're not looking at, for example, petroleum or a major metallic deposit. We're looking at a resource that will be utilized next year. It's about as short a term as you can get on a return.
Senator Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The civil engineer that you proposed to hold, is that somebody on board now that's just going to be shifting around, brand new body?
This would be a brand new body, and I think if we do it right, that brand new body will serve not only in the capacity of identifying the resources, but also be involved in the reclamation processes. In other words, if you drive around the state, whether it's down on the Kenai or up in the Mansoon Valley, or fly over an area, one of the grim things that you see are all the big gravel pits that are just laying vacant and open and have never been reclaimed. This engineering staff person would have that as part of their task also. But I think that we need a civil engineer for that rather than a geologist, simply because it's the type of work involved and the interactions that he's going to have are primarily with other civil engineers.
Do you have any civil engineers on board now? I still have many.
No, we don't.
I have one in the Illinois Division at all. So you can pretty much, I mean, we can be pretty much assured that, if we go with this, that money will go for a civil engineer, and it won't go to some plan, another body out there for some other program.
Right.
Okay.
We have no engineers.
Thank you.
Any other senators have? Doctor, would this then, in the eyes of having this put into the statute on inventory planning and classification, make gravel resources more readily available in areas like McKinley Park area, for example, where you've got private lands, you've got public park lands, and there's only little narrow areas where there's gravel resources available for public construction or private construction. Identify those areas and make them available? So we have, like in my district, we have an individual that has a sand and gravel or a truck operation there and is the one that hauls it for the schools or for anything else, and he's had a temporary permit, but he has to go through about 16 permitting processes before he can get it extended, and now they tell him that he's not going to get it extended, and there's, where do we get the gravel from? Yeah. Is this going to help that kind of a situation?
It certainly will, and one of the problems that the public has in perception of this issue, sand and gravel is a very unexciting thing. You know, for most people, oil or minerals is a lot more tangible than sand and gravel. One of the problems is that there's a feeling that I can go out anywhere and find sand and gravel, but what you're identifying right now is that much of the land is tied up in some way so that you can't extract gravel, and many of the places where you could, the gravel is either of very poor quality or it's glacial tills or bedrock, and you can't use it anyway. So what we're trying to say here is find those areas where there is gravel and how accessible it is, how you get it out.
All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Senator Jones.
Chairman,
I've got series.
It's one thing to identify and see it's there, and that's another thing to make it available. Am I missing something here in this bill? It doesn't say anything about making it available. It says it's there for the future needs and current needs, mm-hmm. and that. How does it get it out? You know, it's good to know where it is.
Yeah. Well, this is where from the inventory phase, it would then have to go over to Division of Land and Water, and they would be the persons that, once they know where the resource is and the volume of the resource, they would be the ones to allocate that resource. We aren't into that game.
Just out of curiosity, this being the Division of Mining and Geological and Geophysical Surveys, wouldn't it be better, instead of having a civil engineer, to have a mining engineer when it comes to resource identification as well as platting,
yeah.
designing?
Primarily the mining engineers would be of value, for example, in designing a pit for slope stability and things like that. And they might be of value in identifying the resource in a general way. But I think primarily where we're looking at a material here that will be for construction purposes. It's not like oil or gold where it's a commodity that you're going to be extracting, purifying, and sending someplace. This would be a local construction material. And so what you need is somebody that is used to working with that material. For example, somebody working with steel or somebody working with modeling clay. You need someone that is familiar with that as a resource.
Well, with just that it's the Division of Mining, it would seem
yeah,
to me that
right.
a mining engineer might have more spin-off to helping you in decision-making, policy decisions and stuff on mining, because you are the Division of Mining rather than the Division of Civil Engineering.
You are touching on something that's of importance there, and that is the present reorganization that's being proposed and the merging of the two divisions, which would give us access to a mining engineer in the old Division of Mines. But he wouldn't have the specific capabilities for this particular project.
Okay, one other... Senator,
well, you made a good point there, Mr. Chairman. I think we should sell gold nuggets as gravel.
It is in certain places. But it's better than having a fisherman there.
I don't really know about it.
Doctor, one other item. In the memo that we got, that we received from your commissioner, dated February the 13th, she made a recommendation that on line 12, the reserve be changed classification. Are you aware, familiar, or is that, that's Carol's, are
yes.
you familiar with that?
We talked about that this morning.
Okay. Is it a term, legal term, connotation that you got here?
Yeah, the subtle thing is that with the reserve, it might be construed as something that you're not going to touch. We want to be sure the wording is such that we can start utilizing that resource in 12 months. Okay, and by reserve, it might be something that you want to preserve for posterity to the year 2020.
We're doing too much of that now.
Pardon?
I say we're doing too much of that now, Doctor.
Yeah.
All right, is there, so you do want to change that?
Yes, I think that would be a very wise decision.
Okay. Well, we're not, don't get excited. Is there any other questions of the good doctor? Yes,
just Senator Fisher. Thank you. It's not that critical in the sense of the fiscal note, as an appropriation or anything. In other words, if this were to pass just with a zero fiscal note, you plan, I assume, incorporating it in your budget anyhow for next year, the cost of this particular position?
Well, I put it in this year as an increment on our budget, and it didn't go out of the department because there was no... Yeah, there simply is no way for me to get it out at this point.
And as the department feels it's a high priority.
Well, yeah. I mean, we could go to the commissioner and she could say, well, we're going to do this rather than count trees.
We're going to do both.
But where did it get cut out? I guess I don't know. At the commissioner's level? Where did it get cut out?
For the last 4.5 years, including this year, I've submitted it every year as an increment on our budget, and every year it's been cut out someplace. Well, it's been cut out at different points. 2 years ago, it died on the floor of the Senate. So it got that far. It died at the end of the session. And that was on the main floor. But it depends on each year. It's a different problem, you know. What you're asking then is, if my commissioner said this is a high priority, do it. Okay, yeah, we would do it, but it's going to mean eliminating some other thing that costs $130,000.
I guess my point is, if we were to pass the bill just as is, saying that the commissioner shall provide for the systematic, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Now, if the commissioner then feels that it's a very high priority, she's going to work it out in the budget that you're going to fund the person through the existing budget.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but what you're saying is you don't want to go that route. You want the fiscal commitment to go right along with the bill. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, Senator Joe?
Mr. Chairman, I think another point here is that DNR is struggling with a budget now that in this firefighting causes... It used to have funds coming from the rainy day account, and which amounts to $7-8 million. That will no longer be coming from that account. It has to come from the appropriated general fund, and so that also was. I mean, that's like a cut to other parts of their operation. So, the point is well taken, Doctor. That if the commissioner wants to work this into her budget, she's going to have a heck of a time fighting even $131,000.
Thank you for using that word. Well, yeah, you know, within our division in the last 2 years, since FY86, we've taken a 48% cut in our budget. This is well above most other divisions. And I think if me coming to you and suggesting that there's something that would be of great value to the state and would have major payback, if you're going to come back on me and say, that's wonderful what you've said, and you've convinced me. Now turn around and take another 10% cut off your operating budget to do this gravel for me. And I think we're kidding each other. I mean, it's kind of a silly game that we're playing.
Senator Zorroff.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. What does this do if we pass this? Is this another hurdle that
we will then have to go through in terms of being able to do something or to make land available or whatever by them now saying that we're adding another section to the inventory. That's the among the other things there that people have to get in order to develop an area, that they also have to make sure that they have somewhere in there some information that the commissioner has at her disposal that identifies and inventories and classifies the sand and gravel. So then, in a sense, are you having to wait for the state to have all this information before you do anything else?
No. Good point. But I think what we are saying is that we are, each year that passes, we're in a race against identifying that resource before that land gets locked up or in some other way disposed of when we really don't know what's there. It's the same. It's exactly the same thing as doing away with a major lead zinc deposit. If you don't know that lead zinc deposit is there before you dispose of the land, then you've lost that resource forever. If you know the resource is there and then you go ahead and elect to do some other purpose with the land, then you're making a wise decision. You're making an informed decision.
Doesn't the state pretty much maintain its subsurface rights?
This is currently thought of as a surface deposit, I believe.
Gravel is considered sand and gravel or surface?
No, it's mineral.
But I think
it's subsurface.
It's subsurface, it's a mineral.
Mm-hmm.
Surface. Yeah. It's
surface. It's surface legally, but it's accounted for as mineral.
I don't know.
Is it called materials?
Yeah.
Rather than in the state. But Doctor, when you get into the classification with native lands, the native corporations consider gravel as a regional corporation right. So it's a subsurface right as far as the native corporation is concerned. So we should probably get on one wavelength here.
Yeah. Well, I know I was involved with some of the land trading going on down at Kachemak Bay, and this was a source of major confusion, was the state was defining it one way and the Native Association was defining it another way. And it was two different ends talking about the same middle.
So, Doctor, maybe we ought to... Would this be to change the subject just a little bit, but on this germane to this, would be this inventorying place in the statutes 3804060, would this be the place where we would put another section in here saying that no land should be withdrawn until the commissioner has made a mineral inventory assessment of all public lands? Would this be the place to put something like that? In other words, you're saying that you don't want to have a lot of the lands withdrawn for all kinds of purposes until there's some kind of a gravel inventory made so that mm-hmm. we can assure that the public and private sector road building or whatever is going to have enough gravel to sustain its needs, mm-hmm. right? That's
right.
Basically the underlying issue here. Then would this be also the place that we might be thinking about maybe putting another section saying that no lands should be withdrawn from the state lands until such time as a mineral assessment has been established on those lands? Would this be the place for that?
I think that I would favor that myself.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, just a comment on that, something that sits a little bit uncomfortable with me. And I guess we had our subcommittee hearing on DNR this morning. They still have to provide certain functions because of law, either whether it's state or federal law or regulations that are already in place. And they're looking at cutting back significant numbers of people. But they still have to perform these functions regardless. And I guess I'm a little bit concerned when we throw in some additional terminology here. In this case, it says the commissioner shall provide. Are we putting an additional burden on the department, which is already feeling the constraints of the budget reductions?
You probably are. But then on the other hand, dealing with my counterparts over in Division of Land and Water who are trying to distribute these materials. Right now, they're shooting in the dark. I'll give you an example. Alaska Railroad, we just did an inventory resource program for them on five material sites alongside the railroad tracks. On one of them, which is located in Aklutna, they had reached an informal agreement with a private contractor who said, I will take out 10 loads of gravel and leave one for Alaska Railroad. That was the agreement that they went to. Alaska Railroad had absolutely no inventory program there and there at all. They had no idea how much gravel was in there. They had no monitoring going on of what was going in and out of that pit. And as a result, when Alaska Railroad came in there 2 years ago, there were no piles of gravel sitting over there for them. And they have no idea how many millions of dollars of gravel they lost. So in a roundabout way, what I'm saying is what we need, even though it adds a little bit of burden to us internally, we can make more informative decisions on that resource if we've got this appraisal going on. DOTPUF, Division of Transportation, is very supportive of this because as they project roads into new areas, this gives them a first shot at knowing where they're going to be able to find sand and gravel along those right-of-way. Same thing if you run a railroad track to Nome. Very helpful to know if there's gravel there.
Senator Strichelisky.
Mr. Chairman, I was just going to say, I think this discussion points up one of the flaws that we have in the management of the state's resources. There's a value to that, and if you don't know what you have out there, how do you prescribe a value to it? And this is the same thing we're gutting in the budget for DNR, the whole land recordation system, and yet Community and Region Affairs and its management of town sites has to go out and have a separate system developed. DOT's running their own separate system. That's the kind of stuff we've got to have, is that basic material. So, because there's a bigger return to it than the cost that you have. And somehow we're not bringing that into the equation. We don't have money for this, and yet we end up costing, I'd like to know what we pay in terms of getting that resource for the highways that we repair and rebuild and so on. So I find this
good point.
You're here trying to make a case for a little segment of something that gets into our managing of the whole resource base. If you don't have the knowledge, you can't very well manage or utilize it in state's projects. So
there's
I look at it in terms of maybe we're using monies or have been using monies on a lesser importance thrust than we have here. If it's all that's important, why haven't we been doing it? Obviously, the commissioners must have known all along that this was a very necessary program in order to really know what we're doing. And still, you say that if we were to pass a bill without this note, that we would be diverting people from other projects which are more important. What are the more important projects than this one here, then?
You pick it. We're looking at the FY88 budget. We have currently 8 hydrologists. We're looking at cutting those to 4 hydrologists next year. If I was going to take this project, that means I'm going to have 1 hydrologist next year for the whole state as far as water resources. Okay, so, well, we can't do it from water then. Okay, well let's do it from oil and gas. Okay, so we'll eliminate pre-sale analysis on the North Slope. In other words, the point I'm saying is I frankly can't tell you which is more important. A sand and gravel inventory of southern Alaska or a mineral assessment of the Brooks Range. You'll have to, yeah.
Of course, this issue might become more important at the present time because we do need revenues. But what about last year, the year before, or prior years? Why has this thing just been slipping along? Nobody's really paying attention to it. I guess that's the question.
Yeah.
If it's so damn important, why hasn't it been done at this point?
I don't know. I start feeling like a sucker writing this thing up every year, changing the numbers a little bit, tweaking the words a little bit, and resubmitting it.
Senator Jones.
For one thing, if I may add one other thing, it simply is not a very sexy item.
Senator,
proceed a little bit further. If it is all that's important, and we had the money to do it before, I fail to understand why we haven't been doing it. Now when we're in a real financial crunch, were saying that this is very necessary and that we're losing, you say, $1 billion?
Maybe it's back to the basics, Senator.
Well, what have we been doing in the past? I guess that's the problem I have.
That's, and down in the trenches, we ask ourselves that, too, because we say, what has been going on, you know? Why are we no longer riding around in the yellow Cadillac convertible, but we're instead in a Subaru? And I really think that we have to capitalize on the fact that we do see this constriction back of our economy, and maybe are making more meaningful decisions now than we did in the past. And we're looking at a little bit more at the immediate payoff to projects rather than the year 2040.
But the commissioners has always had the ability to put this on the front burner. Mm-hmm. But they have chosen not to do so.
Right.
I guess that's the part that bothers me.
And new commissioner.
We got a new commissioner this year, and it's a new ballgame. But I can tell you that 4 years ago, when the priority of increments on our budget came out, that sand and gravel was always down at 100 or 196 or something out of 120 on DNR's list of increments. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's partially my fault that I wasn't down here lobbying for sand and gravel, maybe dumping bags of gravel on people's tables.
I think that also, Senator Eliason, I think that also in our district is that there was, it was always kind of freely, readily available in some of the pits, and there was the permitting, but now a lot of these areas are shrinking, and there's no longer that land available. There's more subdivisions. They subdivided out of McKinley Park, one of the best gravel areas, and they subdivided, sold it off. So it's not, now it's residential areas.
Well, the problem we're having, I'm sure Senator Jones would agree that we know where it is, but we can't get to it.
Yeah. Well, that's what we need to do, and I think that maybe this inventory will do, but I think your point's well taken, Doctor. Is there any other questions, Doctor? We'll move on. And it seems that we hit a chord when we started talking about the commissioner's letter, and I don't know whether whether we want to go to Carol, or whether we want to go back to Beth, or whether we want to go to the gentleman from the budget audit, or go ahead, come on, Carol. State your name. And
Carol Wilson, Department of Natural Resources. I'd be happy to explain why we asked or put in the word classified, not to confuse, but because classification does establish that here's something that's set aside for a special reason, that it's important because it's sand and gravel, and that to change a classification you have to go through a public process. So we thought that might be an intention. We weren't quite sure of how the word reserve was used, and we just wanted something to make it clear that this was set aside, but that it could be used for other purposes. And our suggestion for classification was nothing more than that. And we're pleased with the other suggestion that reserve, just adding those words so that it's clear that you'd be making use of the sand and gravel.
So in other words, you're not, the reserve, that has kind of gone away?
We don't need to change reserve for classify, no.
Because that was, Carol, going to be my question, was that is there a legal connotation, and one of them doesn't need to have public comment, and the other one does, like the difference between adopting regulations or just having a policy. This seems to be the new issue that, you know, a lot of people put policies together. You don't have to go through all of the main public comment and the long, arduous road. So you're saying that just leave it reserved?
Right.
All right. That's taking care of that one. We have one other. Joe, excuse me, Carol. Do you have a question?
So I can get some things clear in my mind. The commissioner right now can do this if she so well pleases, right? She can go out and classify and do all this. Is there some reason why she wants it in a statute that says shall? Mm-hmm.
No.
If it's a high priority, she can just go ahead and do it.
No.
Okay, now by us putting it shall, it does give her some leverage where she can probably say, or the commissioner can probably say, well, gee, the legislature mandates if I do this, and it might strengthen her positioning in the budget process. I don't know, but ultimately, she's going to probably decide how best to allocate the dollars that are there. And where I'm coming from, I have no problem with the bill. I think it's something that we need to do. But when we start talking dollars, that's where I have a problem. If it's a high priority, then they should find money in the existing budget. I perceive during the next couple of months millions and millions of dollars coming in the same way, which might be looked at as a backdoor approach to supplementing the operating budget. And that's what I guess maybe what I see, and I hope I'm wrong. If it is a priority, it just seems like we should just pass the bill the way it is. No fiscal, I mean, we can have a little hint there that's going to cost us. Let the commissioner decide if it's a high priority, then spend the money on it and take it from somewhere else. Because everybody's going to complain they don't have the money. You know, they always need more, and everybody doesn't, and I don't disagree, you probably do need more. There's a limited amount of money that we're going to have this year, and if we just start nitpicking away, then the regular budget's going to be reduced tremendously.
Mr. Chairman.
Maybe I'm not seeing what you said.
We would not be able to support the bill, I think, at this time if we didn't have the fiscal note attached. We think it's a very worthwhile project, but as you know, our budget has gotten smaller and smaller, and to take on a new responsibility that we would have to do means we'd have to lay off other people or cut out another project, and at this time we can't do it without additional funding, unfortunately so, but you're correct that yes, we need the money.
This bill has got to go to finance, Senator, after it goes from here, and we'll get into with the subcommittee on resources and we can see how it sorts out, but we don't have the whole menu in front of us here, so it's pretty hard for us to try and identify that unless we see the whole resource budget. Yes, Senator Sarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are you done?
Yes, sir. On line 11, where it says the commissioner shall provide for is it systematic identification or is systematic separate from identification?
No.
Well, because I guess if you break the sentence up there, it says the commissioner shall provide for the reserve of sand and gravel resources. What does that mean? I could see where the commissioner could provide the classification of sand and gravel. But I guess maybe I'm missing something, because you're saying you'd rather see a reserve rather than classification.
Mr. Chairman, I think the word reserve, originally we just asked to have it clarified because of the confusion in our minds. Did it mean we were supposed to hold on for sand and gravel forever, or was it okay that we could go ahead and sell it? So that was our only reason for asking for that clarification. But the reason that systematic identification and inventory is in there, we don't know where all the sand and gravel resources are, and it would be difficult to reserve them or set them aside without knowing where they were. So this would direct us to go out and piece by piece on state land, look at it and decide, is there sand and gravel there and how much is there and what might it be used for? And we are directed in our statutes to inventory resources and so on state land, but it's an ongoing kind of thing.
Does that answer your question?
I don't know why I asked it.
Senator,
it just doesn't sound right.
Senator Fisher?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just when we talk state land and we talk railroad property, do you consider railroad property in the category of state land?
Mr. Chairman, yes, but DNR doesn't manage it.
Okay, so if they, as far as the inventory of gravel on the railroad property as such, you won't get involved through this inventorying the gravel that's on railroad land.
I don't believe the project is envisioned to do that, although it's not to say it couldn't happen. We're kind of talking with DOT on this, so, and I understand they have a computer system all set up and some of their inventory is already done. So it's not to say that it couldn't happen.
But they might contract you folks to do it if they wanted to know what's available, or if they want to understand the gravel on some particular railroad holdings. They would probably cough up the money, so to speak, to you folks to do it. It wouldn't be just you going out and doing it at your expense, right?
I would think.
I see somebody. Okay.
Yeah. We do our land first, and then.
Is there any other questions, Carol? Thank you very much, Carol. We have another witness, Ron Somerville. Ron, would you come up and give your name?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Ron Somerville, representing the Alaska Outdoor Council. I just briefly want to make one comment. I had a couple calls from the fisheries group, commercial fisheries as well as sport fisheries, concerned about when you start identifying gravel for use for anything. Obviously, one of the greatest sources of gravel is streams and rivers, etc. And they just want me to express that concern to you. And I have to confess, I have not examined all of Title 38 to see whether it's taken care of elsewhere. But when you start listing them, one of the options I thought of, you might say the future needs of Alaska's renewable resources and then continue transportation systems, large-scale development or whatever. But I think you can understand some of the apoplexy that comes as to when you start identifying uses for sand and gravel. That's a concern. That's all.
Questions of Ron?
I think you made a good point.
Fish and game takes care of
you. Yes,
Mr. Chairman.
I'm not saying that you could take it out, and that's not what they're saying. They're just saying when you start identifying it, they want it to be listed as a primary use, that's all.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Yes.
Ron, does Title 16 cover, pretty well cover that, what, you know, what they can do and can't do when they start getting into the...
I believe it would, as what far as the extraction is concerned, yes, I, that'd be my immediate reaction.
I think that it's probably covered in other statutes. I mean, we could, we, you know, 404 permits would be required from the Corps of Engineers to get into any omnibus streams.
Sure. I just raised the point.
So we really don't need to raise that issue here unless the committee wants to put it in there. I don't see any harm in putting it in here. It just might be redundant.
Thank you.
All right. Is there any other... people want to testify? Nobody else on the sheet, so we'll close the public hearing. And
Mr. Chairman, prior to doing that, could I ask one question, please?
Sure.
Is Beth still here? I think that Senator Zaroff didn't know why he asked the question, but I think he asked a very good one. Or you said, did you, Fred? Sorry.
Everybody's helping me out.
Through the chair, I'm sorry. Reserve doesn't make as much sense as classify, and yet I understand that the sponsor wanted reserve, and I'm not so sure about what classify isn't appropriate.
Thank you, through the chair, Senator. One of the conceptualizations behind the bill is a long-term planning involved with keeping gravel resources, looking ahead for highways, for future projects, and I think that's why the original language is there for reserve. Now, it's not meant to be something that can never be turned over and used, because that's the whole idea, is to use it for state projects, state land. But rather than having just the classification on in the language, you also wanted to have reserve there to implant that theory into the law. I think we accomplish the same ideas, sort of as classification, by saying reserve, okay, then along with the meeting and current. And that, I agree, we're all used to reading classification. The other point being...
to the classification, and it opens up a whole avenue within the Administrative Procedures Act, and that's what we have
also
to stay away from.
I think that's also correct, Mr. Chairman. I hadn't thought about that until this morning when the Department of Natural Resources pointed out that if we did start, you know, using the word classification, that then we would be going through public hearings back and forth to reclassify if that was necessary.
Thank you. Does that answer your question, Senator?
Well, I don't, Mr. Chairman, just through the chair, I'm not sure that you've just made a statement. I'm not sure what's behind Section 3804060, which calls for an inventory of state land and water resources, other values. I don't know whether that inventory is already subject to some kind of a hearing process and so on. And I guess I'm not so afraid of public process on it. For whatever that is.
Well, I don't think anybody's trying to shut out the public process, Senator. I think that what we're trying to do here is streamline a systematic identification, inventory, and reserve of those lands for future use. I think if we classified it, we'd classify it forever.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator.
The public, Beth, maybe you know, the public process will come when they go to make it available or sell it, or I mean, through a permit system, I would imagine.
Through the chair.
Yes.
My nodding from my DNR counterparts, I think that's correct. And Senator Sturgiluski through the chair, and I don't think Senator Grutula or LDNA has any problems with their public process either. The real concern is the futuristic approach, and I think that's why that word reserve is there, and that's the only reason for it.
Thank you,
Senator. Thank you, Beth.
Thank you.
Senator Zaroff.
Thank you. I guess I'm trying to figure out what reserve means. Is it, you're going to identify something, you're going to inventory it, and then you're going to reserve it. What does that mean? I guess I could see where you could identify something and you could inventory it, then you can classify it, whether it's there for extraction or what are you going to do with it or whatever. But to me, reserve means you're going to take it set it aside and keep it there for something. I don't know. Maybe I'm looking at a different meaning or definition for reserve than what you're thinking about. Are you thinking about identifying a certain area and you're calling that because of the materials there, it's a reserve of that source, or what?
Through the chair, Senator, and I went to the dictionary this morning after asking Senator Petula what he thought about this. It becomes, in essence, a term of art, and that's the problem we're having with this word reserve. Mm-hmm. Reserve in the term of like a timber reserve, when we all normally think of something, setting it aside for all, you know, for perpetuity, that's not the intent of this. However, it also has the subtleness of the word reserve in terms of reserving it for the public use, reserving this for future use. Then we've got the additional language that pretty much clarifies it, saying that the particular emphasis on meeting the current and the future needs. So it's more like a reserve for use is the theory. And the reason the word reserve is there is to point out the futuristic goal of land management. That at least is the conceptualization behind using that word. And it's at the committee's pleasure if you that.
Well, let's try another one. Let's try deposit. Instead of reserve, because reserve sounds too much like preserve. You know?
To get it hung up on.
Just like cash reserves in the state treasury, you're not going to use them someday.
Yeah, well, but I mean, how about if you change it, the commissioner shall provide for a systematic identification, inventory, and deposits would work, would be of deposits of sand and gravel. You had of deposits. How about that, Ben?
Mr. Chairman, I think that changes the intent. If we're saying identification inventory of deposits, that then would just leave us with the identification and inventory of something rather than pointing out that it's identification, inventory, and the reserve.
Mr. Chairman, are you trying to reserve it from preservation? Are you trying to reserve it from being preserved?
Mr. Chairman, I think that it's not necessarily.
are we trying to identify a resource out there? Then are we trying to inventory so that we know somewhere in the future that resource is going to be there? But then we want to also make it available.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but then if we want to do that, I don't know, when you put reserve in there, I guess we can understand now probably for the next 5 years, but 10, 15, 20 years from now, somebody's going to look at this and they're going to have a whole different interpretation of what reserve means.
Well, and of course, when this all goes to the Supreme Court and everything, they'll be listening to our tape. And they'll be getting the identification from
them. They won't even know why I'm asking a question.
Maybe we'll get the answer to your question that you didn't know why you asked.
What happens if you change that first answer or?
Through the chair, I think you'd completely change the meaning of the bill. Then you would have an either or situation. You'd either be reserving it or you'd be identifying it. And then you would have a problem.
Reserving what?
Completely reserving. Then it would be going away. I agree. Excuse me.
Well, what if actually you got to put your school farm cap back on here, and you got to go, Beth. The thing is that you're doing a systematic identification of reserve, not only inventory, but systematic reserve of land. In other words, if we're going to take some corridors, we would want to reserve some of those resources along that new corridor as gravel. As reserves for gravel extraction to build the road or to build the highway or to whatever. So I think that you've gone all the way around, but you made it clear to me. Is there any other questions of Beth? Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
If there's no objections, is there anybody else? Nobody else before the committee? Well, I will close the hearings and we'll take the bill back and we'll do those changes and we'll bring it out as a committee substitute. If there's no objection.
You have someone look into the question of the one that Ross Somerville brought up. see where that language is somewhere else in Title 16 or wherever it might be.
All right.
Dealing with fish streams and groundwater.
Sure. There.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I was going to suggest maybe somewhere in some intent language we ought to identify or define what we think reserve of sand and gravel resources means, at least from our perspective, so that we're not talking about reserving it and keeping it.
That we're actually talking about something that's already there. All we want to do is inventory it after we identify it.
Usable reserves.
Understand. Something like that.
Yeah. Well, the staff understands, we'll do that. I don't know whether I asked if there was any objections, but I don't know whether the record is clear that to do those amendments that we said meeting and
Mr. Chairman, if you would like a motion on those amendments, I'd be happy to move on Senate Bill 71, line 13. I move and ask unanimous consent that we add after on meeting the current and...
Is there any objections to that? Mm-hmm. No objections, so ordered. And
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Yes, I would appreciate if we could take a look at the legal... Is there a legal connotation to reserve that would create problems? Because I think what I understand the future need, but we also want to be able to use it today, and if that's enough, there may be other things where reserve has been used with a special purpose.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Jones?
If we use it in the context of the whole section, or that section D, it goes on to say, with particular emphasis on the current and future needs of transportation systems, populated areas, and large-scale developments within the state. And then defining what the reserves, what attention you're giving those reserves, or what emphasis you're putting on them.
I think that's the question.
Well,
that's what it seems
to
me.
That's what it says.
Is there any objection? If there's no objection, we'll go on then to the next bill.
We'll make a committee substitute.
The next one is Senate Grant Resolution Number 6, asking the governor to designate the Sundrana Mine and as a historical site. And gentlemen, I'm the sponsor of this, and you'll see in your memo a position on it. It's the third page down. And we have Charles Bodie from Usabelli Mine here to testify on this particular bill. And we have some pictures. And Chuck, will you want to come forward and get your name on the record? And we'll.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Charles Bodie, and I am the Manager of Regulatory Compliance for Usabelli Coal Mine. Senator, if I could just for a moment, I didn't come to engage your other bill, but in the case of coal resource, when you speak in terms of reserve, normally we take it in two types, one of an inferred reserve after preliminary drilling, and then proven reserves at some point when there's sufficient data to make a claim. But a reserve would be a body as established after some sort of inventory process for locatable minerals.
And available.
Correct.
Senator Zora. Yeah.
So does that mean there in the context of the other bill that all that falls in progression? That you identify, that you can inventory, and then you, it's a reserve?
That would be the understanding, again, when you're looking at a locatable mineral, that would be the normal progression.
All right, well, we'll go on then with Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 6. And why don't you just go ahead, Charlie, and just give them kind of an update of where we're at on it.
Okay, you have a myriad of backup materials, so I will not belabor the merits of the site itself as far as being eligible. I think that the Department of Natural Resources, through their research of that, has established that this is, in fact, an available site. It is Mr. Usabelli's desire that this site be preserved obviously, I think, a very important historic site, not only to our general area, but to the interior in a larger sense, because of the resource that was really extracted there to provide for the interior region. I've come here today to answer any specific questions or concerns that the committee may have in reference to the site, and to clarify anything that's within any material you have received.
Senator Strzelecki.
I really appreciated the background information you supplied on this. This is fascinating reading, but I was curious about a couple of things, about the size of the site that's projected, and whether or not it takes in any land that might be used for future development, or if it's confined to, say, the area where the buildings and so on are located. That's one thing we didn't have, was the extent of the historic district.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Senator Strzelecki, the area of the confines, I think, of the site would be greatly reduced over the size of the initial lease, which was a federal lease, which was a fairly large area. We have not drawn down the size of the site at this time, because we still desire to have the parks people and ADNR people assist us in determining the exact size. There's a railroad spur loop that may want to be included in that, but it would be a fairly small, my estimate would be 10 acres or less.
I see. That certainly makes sense.
If you read the backup material on this, there's, in the federal mining leases, there's a reclamation program that has to go on, and instead of, and now that that area has been mined, if we don't do this kind of a thing, why, then they're required to go ahead and tear everything down and reclaim it to its natural state. And the thing is, what we're saying is that this is a historical site. The engineering community at the University of Alaska uses it two or three times a year. And there's a lot of history, as well as a lot of basic knowledge that comes around on this thing.
If you didn't know it, you'd say those were facilities that could be used. I mean, it's a little bit different than the Independence Mine that we created as a historical district. These look like a state of preservation with metal roofs and so on. Pretty interesting.
Mr. Chairman, I would say that from my point of view, the possibility still exists that the facility could be used into the future for some different operations, which again I think would be even more of an enhancement, I guess, for the site itself.
Is there any other questions of Mr. Foti? I think that with the backup and all of the pictures, you know, I think that you might say the one picture is worth 10,000 words when you're doing something like this. So, you know, it's just Charlie.
One thing I know that was noted from the Department of Natural Resources, and I did want to, on behalf of the mine, update the committee on what's going on. The letter that you have, dated February 13th, from Commissioner Brady, and the explanation section, there's talk that a second issue is the site would need to be made free of any safety hazards, and that erosion is suitably controlled. We have had our safety staff at the mine, in conjunction with others, do a total assessment of the site. The site is being now, for health and safety reasons, totally boarded up to prevent any further breakage of glass or whatever. And we have a firm that will be down Thursday and Friday doing some limited asbestos removal from one of the boiler sites at the main tipple. And any transformers that were found to have PCB were removed probably 3 years prior. So Usabelli is moving forward with what we consider to be our civic responsibility in ensuring that the site is preserved and maintained at this point, ensure everyone's health and safety.
And for the edification of the committee, too, that in your packet or on the table is this little newspaper that's put out by the mine, and it shows the reclamation programs that Mr. Bodie is responsible for and the efficiency of the mine and how they reclaim the land and everything that's built. Any questions to Mr. Bowden?
Not really something with this particular subject here, but how many people does you said really employ up there in that area?
Senator, we have approximately 120 people on the payroll at this time. We increased our staff during the last 18 months, commensurate with producing the additional 800,000 metric tons that we're now shipping through the sewer facility for Sunil. I may add that in your recent reading, you may have noted that a similar size tonnage contract may be consummated in the near future with the Taiwanese, one that Diamond Shamrock, one of our Patriots and the Coal Association had high hopes of establishing a larger contract with, and the tonnages, of course, that they would need to start up are considerably higher, so it looks as though our production could rise significantly, which would,
we hope.
Yes, we do.
That's good. Senator Sturgeon.
Could that for just a moment. I don't want to see one firm win and the other lose unless you happen to be in that firm. I think what we want to see is that development. Good for you. You say, we hear that said that we're developing our coal resources because of the political equation. Are we, in fact, a higher cost producer overall than, say, alternate sources? Do we run, say, 20% higher in terms of getting the coal to market?
Charlie?
Chairman. I would say, Senator, to answer you truthfully, we are not the highest priced person in the marketplace. Where the difference is drawn is when Usibili shipped coal to Korea the first time. That was the first subbituminous coal that had ever entered the international marketplace. There is a tremendously large availability of bituminous coal through Canada, South Africa, and other producers. And so Alaska, very fortunately, has been blessed with a coal that has other attributes, namely the low sulfur in that, grindability, its ability to mix with other coals from South Africa and Australia that have positioned us in the marketplace. But certainly there are political overtones. Dr. Sims will be down tomorrow morning. Dr. Sims and I are the current office holders for the Alaska Coal Association. John quite extensively has done work on the comparative markets. And, I personally just think it's great. I think that Alaska, as far as this administration's view of putting us in markets in the Pacific Rim, we're ready, willing, and able to do
that. Yeah, you're there.
Senator Jones.
Mr. Chairman, Charlie, is it the cost of getting it out, or is it the value of the dollar in the international market that has more to do with it at this point?
I would be somewhat less than candid to say it's not a very complex thing. Obviously, monetary fluctuations have played a great part in it. We're not a group, for example, such as the other countries who have the ability to stockpile and dump into spot markets and that. We, as the United States coal industry, does not engage in those types of things. We stick only to our contractual coal. So, yes, it's played very heavily, even in our contract with Sunil. But it's the pursuit of long-term that we know that we're going to have to ride out some of these fluctuations in the oil pricing and that. And I think that, at least as far as Korea, again, I think Taiwan, they have made that long-term commitment. And our viability, I think, will remain quite good.
Senator Zuroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Looking at this, of course, there's a zero fiscal note. And classifying an area like this for an existing facility as a historical site, what are the advantages of doing this? I guess one thing there is that by doing this, we don't have to go in, or somebody doesn't have to go in there and clear everything out, plant the grass seed or whatever and make it look original. But are there other commitments that come along in terms of taking the boards off the windows and making it available to the public, or what? Are there federal dollars or are there state dollars that are tied to this, or what?
They have, Senator, they have a mine tour, and this, the road goes above the tipple. It goes above the tipple and all the way around.
What's the tipple?
This is what we're preserving.
Oh, okay.
It's like a... This is the tipple. That's a coal loading device. And the tracks are down here. And the road goes around the hill, around the side, and that's where they have their mine tour. So the historical site can be shown to the people, but there won't be any big manning of Park Service people and all of that. It's just a historical site that's designated, like we designate, I believe they've designated the original railroad depot at Kenana as a historical site.
So if there's a major snowfall or something and you have the buildings collapse or something, there's nothing there that says because it's a historical site we have to go back and put it back in?
That's correct.
Besides, it says thick seams of coal ripple through the sandstone cliffs above the tipple.
Okay, you got it now?
I got it.
Is there any other questions of Mr. Bowden? If not, thank you, Charlie. Carol, did you want to, were you signed up to give us your position, the DNR position?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Carol Wilson, Department of Natural Resources. I wanted to offer the department support for designating this area as a historic site and say that we already have a statute that allows money to be charged for tours of historic sites, so it's conceivable that Mr. Isabelli or someone could charge for tours and operate the facility that way. Otherwise, it probably would be just kind of closed off, and university folks and so on might go out there, but it would preserve the area is the idea. They wouldn't have to tear down the building, so we don't really have any plans to operate it.
Just a quick follow-up on Senator Zaroff. Then, if somebody gets hurt there, there's no liability at all by the state.
If it's posted and the gates closed, something like that, so it's clear that it's not open, and the hazards are removed by Mr. Isabel and that sort of thing, our liability is no worse than it is anyplace else on state land, is my understanding.
Senator Blasen.
Mr. Chairman, I noticed you, from the Department of Natural Resources, made some reference to mental health. And what's that do? Why is the reference there? How would it affect this?
Mr. Chairman, currently any land that was designated as part of the original Mental Health Trust, there is this Mental Health Commission that was established by the legislature last year that must review any actions that are taking place on that land. So if we wanted to do something that hurt that land's ability to generate revenue, right now we would have to pass that action before the Mental Health Commission for their review. Just designating the site as a historic site is not going to change anything, so that won't affect them. But any actions that we actually propose to take on that site, they would have to review. Now, that can all change if the legislature solves the mental health land problem and either pays them back for that land or whatever, then this condition or this problem won't exist. It was more in the way of giving you, advising you of something that's going on there.
Okay. Thank you.
Senator Sarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for clarification, is this private? Is it state? Is it federal land? Or what is it?
It's state land.
State land. Under a federal lease. It was originally under a federal lease and then transferred to the state?
Yes.
So it's state land?
Yes. But the mining activity center was done under the federal lease. It's now mental health land. If you want to hear a nightmare, I'll tell you about how I tried to get a garbage sanitary landfill in one of the old pits up there for the community of Healy. One of these days, well, we'll have that issue before them.
I'd like to hear that.
Not right now. Not right now, sir. Is there any other questions of Carol or Mr. Bowden? Yes?
Excuse me, we have Laurel Murphy here, who's the acting director of the Division of Mining and Geology, if you have questions about the permits and so on.
Okay. Does anybody want to? All right, let's move on then. Thank you. We'll close the hearing. Do we have a, what's the pleasure?
Senator Fisher. Mr. Chairman, I move that Senate concurrent resolution number 6 be passed out of committee with individual recommendations.
Any objections? No objections. It's so ordered. And we have Senate concurrent resolution number 6 passed out of the committee.
All right, we've got before us, we have before us two other small items. Shouldn't take too long, we've heard them. First of all, we have in your packet Executive Order number 64. And that has to do with executive order placing the mining and geology in the Department of Natural Resources. And there's a...
I don't have it.
What?
Executive order.
No, it's a letter. It's a button. Hold.
Oh.
Where's the letter?
It's a letter from...
Oh.
Okay.
It's a consolidation of the Division of Mining and the Division of Geology and Geophysical Survey. The committee last week had some concerns about the role the new division would take. Would the division be research-oriented or advocacy-oriented? Staff has drafted a transmittal letter which indicates what the letter is a letter that I have. This is a proposed letter that, after due consideration on resources, has no objection to the implication of implementation of Executive Order 64. However, grave concern has been expressed regarding the direction and the new division will take. Recognizing the importance of both the advocacy and regulatory roles the Division of Mining currently fills and the data-based development research roles the Division of Geology and Geophysical Survey has, it is of the concern that their respective functions not be paramount to the other. Now, this basically, if we want to, as I understand, if we want to disapprove it, why then we have to have a concurrent resolution. And if we want to pass it with the reorganizational structure, it's a recommendation that we just go ahead and pass it with that concern noted. Any objection? No objection. I so ordered, and that's what we'll do. We'll transmit the letter. We have before us two other bills that we've heard. We have the 5-acre home site, and it was sent back to committee to put together a letter of intent to accompany the bill. Each have a copy before it identifies home site as residential use and also tells DNR that there will be no restriction on the title. In other words, we wanted to have a 5-acre fee title. And the thing is, we wanted to have it for residential use. But I think that if we went into the intent of the legislature that immobility of the fee simple title shouldn't go into a big long dissertation on it, because it's fee title, and if you're going to have fee title, you're going to have it where that the land holder or owner can mortgage it. And if we went into big structures on it, well, we'd find ourselves in a position where we'd probably legislate ourselves right into that box.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I understand the intent. I just have a little problem with the letter of intent. You make a very clear statement. It's the intent of the legislature that home site means residential use, and I think that answers the question that was raised. But then you go on to say that intent, that the alienability of the fee simple title is not restricted in any way. It almost sounds like I get that, and it's under the residential use, but if I were to sell it, that there would be no restrictions on it. And there is, in fact, a restriction, and that is that it be residential use. It's just the way that's worded, it sets up the question about if you make a sale and it goes on, that you might be doing away with it. I'm sorry, but that's the way it read to me.
Well, you're probably right.
Yeah.
The thing is that we've never in our American system had ourselves in a position where that we restricted any title, fee title use of land to an individual purpose. I mean, the thing is that it has to have a level of free market. What we're trying to do here is we're trying to identify a 5-acre plot on a restricted deed area, which is the agricultural land. We're trying to say it is intended to be for your residence. But when you take it and you put it into a mortgage and you go to a mortgage bank,
and you mortgage that land, you have to have that totally fee to allow that person to be able to get financing.
Yeah.
Because if you put restrictions on it, the minute you put restrictions on it, the money in the state is so tight now that it's going to be hard. But the thing is that I think that if we find a misuse of it, why, in later years we can go back and, but I don't see that hole being opened up there.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I want to be sure I understand. Okay, first of all, the reason we want it residential, we don't want to see this land sold to become a motel or a bar or so on. It's for a resident, right? That's the intent of it. And then it seems that the one modifies the other, that's saying that you can't, that, you know, you as the owner now of this 5 acres, you want to sell to Senator Duncan over there. The way I read that second portion, that it would not be restricted in any way. It is restricted to the extent that it is under homesite and residential use, and I think that's your intent.
That's my intent, but Senator, you've got to remember that this is a smaller part of a bigger part.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And the thing is that it's not downtown Anchorage, or it's not downtown Fairbanks, or Juneau. It's out in the barley projects, or it's out in the hinterland of the heartland of Alaska, where we have agricultural parcels.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why we haven't been able to successfully be able to put things together out there is because these poor people cannot. The only place they can go right now to get a loan to build a house is the Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund. And that's not the purpose of
this. Mr. Chairman, I don't want to stop them from going to the bank. I agree with what you're doing. I'm just saying that it sounds like, from the way your intent is, that you're going to take off any restriction.
That's
and
correct.
I think what you want to keep on is the restriction that homesite is residential, or maybe you don't.
I don't.
Oh.
Because the thing is, once you put residential on it, you cloud the issue for the banker, and he's going to say, well, it's a covenant, it's got a covenant on it.
So what you
what I'm saying
is
that we mean it for residential, but it's out there in the tule bushes, and the thing is, what if he wants to build a barn on it? That's not residential. Supposing he wants to build a garage on it or a shop, you know, and so we could get extremely wide and broad, or we could get narrow and way down, and we could have a bill that's, you know, what I'm trying to say is, I know what you're saying is you don't want the thing to be there, that you don't want the thing to be opened up where that they can commercially use that 5 acres in a position other than what the intent is that we're trying to accomplish here. But we do have zoning, like, for example, in the borough, in the Matanuska borough, where they have ag lands in the Mackenzie area. That's in the Matanuska borough. They can zone that to the point where that it will be agriculture. It'll be residential or farm related. I mean, we went around with the staff. I went around and around and around with them, and we finally come up with it. The fact is that you have to say that it means residential use. But on the other hand, if you start putting covenants on it, why, it sinks more and more and more as you get down. It's like saying you can buy a boat and you can only use it for fishing, but you can't use it for sightseeing or for taking your family out. You know what I'm saying?
Mr. Chairman, I think I do. What you're saying, though, is that, again, as I and I'm trying to go on and interpret this, that you're saying it has to be sold under fee simple for a home site, and a home site means residential use. And then you're saying that other things can happen there. That's what you're saying.
Well, no, I'm saying that you can't, the alienability of the title shouldn't be impaired, because you want to make it as open as possible for those people to be able to get their financing. And then if you restrict it, well, you're not going to get the financing. But I guess that's what I'm trying to say, Senator. Does that confuse the issue more?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it sends a contradictory message.
I think I agree. Mm-hmm. I think it does. I think it does send a contradictory.
Yeah, and I'm not disagreeing that you don't have certainly the right to say what your legislation wants to say, but you're really saying two things, I think. Thank you.
All right, let's take a look at the structure of the bill without taking a structure of the intent language. And it says here that the commissioner may negotiate with the owner. They may negotiate with the owner of land subject to agricultural rights,
mm-hmm.
the purchase by that owner of 5 acres of fee simple home site. Fee simple for a home site. Fee simple. And fee simple means see fee simple. And if you put, if you're going to use any other item on it, it's going to be that use. And if it's up in the title, it says an act relating to the conveyance of 5 acre home site on agricultural land and providing for an effective date.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, when we talk about fee title, we're talking about that they may not negotiate the sale for more than 5 acre home site on each original tract purchased from the state. If a survey is required under the subject, the purchaser will pay for the cost of survey. So I don't know how we can change it unless we take out the fee title. And the thing is that's the whole, that's the gut of the bill. Yes, Senator Jones.
Chairman, you're taking care of a problem in the first conveyance of the land. From the state to the individual.
Right.
Correct?
Right.
Then, from that point on, you want to limit that person as
no.
to what he can sell it for, or what zoning, or, you know, what use it can be sold for?
No. No.
All right, then.
It's fee title. It's got to be that way in order for you to be able to sell the mortgage to the bank, because if the bank forecloses on you, they don't want to have it restricted to that home, to that agricultural site. But it's going to be awful hard for anybody to build a Monte Carlo out in the middle of the Delta Barton project.
Well, let me just see if I, Mr. Chairman, see if I'm understanding
Senator
Jones was just saying. On the first negotiation here with the owner of the land, we're tying him down so it has to be a home site, right? And we define home site as meaning residential use only. But then what Senator Jones was just saying is if he decides to sell that to someone else, that second party then could put motels on it.
That's correct. That's correct.
Or whatever they want to do.
Whatever the best use.
But isn't that the American way? Jim?
Sure.
You know,
that was your intent here?
My intent was not that. My intent was to have fee title. My intent, if I could get it through the legislature, would be to make all state lands fee title, no restrictions on it.
Well,
but then that's not the point here. The point here is to try and get these people that have bought, and actually, these people that have bought agricultural rights-only land, they've got a problem. They can't build a home on it. We've got people around the Neenan area, around the Delta area, around the Fairbanks area that have bought these tracts of land, and they have to leave their equipment, their barn, and everything, and they're living in town, and they're commuting back and forth because they cannot finance a home on it. They can't finance a trailer. They can't finance anything on it.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
These people have established themselves on an agricultural piece of land.
That's correct.
Now they want 5 acres for their home site.
That's correct.
On this
part.
Yeah, part. Now, they're on a lease. Am I correct? They're on a lease?
It's an agricultural rights only covenant deed.
So they want to cut out this 5 acres now outside of this. Okay. Do we want to continue to tie that 5 acres to the agricultural use?
Can't very well do that. What I'm saying is that if you do that, then you're right back to square one. What I'm trying to do here, Senators, is I'm trying to get the agricultural community out of the public sector and into the private sector. I'm trying to get it where that they can finance their structure, their house, their barn, and went on 5 acres. Fee time. They're gonna pay another price for it. They're not paying the agricultural price for it. They're gonna get it, and what that is worth ought to be able to be passed on, but you can't have government restrictions on it.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Doug.
Well, I don't mean to get into this too much either. But I guess what I can see happening here, and let me ask you if this is right. The way it is now, they're having difficulty without being able to purchase this 5 acre home site. They're not being able to get financing to build their residence and their barn or whatever else they want to do, right?
Yeah, and that
right. Okay. So that's fine. So we do this to take care of that problem, which I don't think I've had any difficulty. What stops that individual then from turning around and selling 4 of those 5 acres to someone to develop